Proverbs 16:16.
How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and good judgment than silver. Proverbs 16:16. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Let's start over, will you please? Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. Proverbs 24:3-4. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. Now would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Proverbs chapter 19, verses 20 and 21. Proverbs chapter 19, 20 and 21. You're aware of the fact that we are studying the book of Proverbs. You're also aware of the fact that last Wednesday night we covered a number of chapters, 20 chapters of the 31 chapters of this magnificent book. At that time, I made a promise that on this coming Sunday morning, I would begin with chapter 21 and go through chapter 31. I'm here to announce that I'm going to break that promise. And I'm going to hold that until next Sunday morning, if the Lord wills. And if that mind changes between now and then, we'll be somewhere else. But I just wanted you to know that we are looking today at Proverbs chapter 19, verses 20 and 21. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our scripture reading. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours today to be in this place to open our wonderful Word of God and then open our hearts and minds to these truths. We're thankful that you've blessed us all so richly. We're the recipients of your grace in so many wonderful ways. We bow to express our thanks again today for the fact that we're your children, saved by your matchless grace. We have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home, and this is based upon the fact of the Word of God saying that when a person believes, they're brought into the kingdom and they're ready and prepared for an eternity with our Savior Jesus Christ. And so we're thankful again today for the opportunity to be here to open our wonderful Word of God and to focus our attention upon these truths. Be with us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, it will stand. What we're going to do is to repeat those verses because I want you to see how powerful they are. Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Verse 21, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, it will stand. We've emphasized the fact that a proverb is a short statement that encapsulates wisdom. A proverb is a short statement that encapsulates wisdom. Proverbs are short sayings that take the place of a long explanation. What I would like for you to do is to think seriously with me today again about these magnificent proverbs. Proverbs are short sayings that take the place of a long explanation. Proverbs are practical, timeless, relevant. When we come to study the book of Proverbs, we are aware of the fact that Proverbs are very practical, timeless, and relevant. Proverbs are short sayings that teach us how to live life skillfully from God's vantage point. Most of you have heard these statements many times in the last few weeks, but I want you to see how powerful and important they are. Proverbs are short sayings that teach us how to live our lives skillfully from God's viewpoint, from God's vantage point. Wisdom is from God, learned by studying the Bible, shaped by the Holy Spirit. Let me go over that again. Wisdom is from God, learned by studying the Bible, shaped by the Holy Spirit. In other words, what we're saying here is that God delights to give. In fact, He always gives generously, and He doesn't insult us when we're asking. So we are looking at the statements in relationship to wisdom being from God. Notice also that wisdom is not the product of philosophical speculation or intellectual accumulation. It is God's gift of the beauty of holiness. May I remind you again how powerful it is to see that wisdom from the Bible is from God, learned by studying these wonderful truths, shaped by the Holy Spirit. And again, I repeat, God delights to give. In fact, He gives generously and doesn't insult us when we come to study the wonderful Word of God. Wisdom is not the product of philosophical speculation or intellectual accumulation. It is God's gift of the beauty of holiness. Wisdom is reasoning power. Let me repeat. Wisdom is reasoning power. The ability to follow the best course. The art of being successful. Wisdom is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and not human rational thought. It's important that each one of these statements be thought through and understand that wisdom is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and is not found in human rational thought. God provides everything we need for life and for godliness. God provides what is necessary to face the trials of life. Many times I've reminded us that we face difficulties and burdens and tests on a day-by-day basis, and God always provides what is necessary to face life's trials. God provides a searching believer generously in grace. And when we begin our study in the first chapter, we begin to see that wisdom is available. It is correct use of knowledge. And then I reminded you of the first five chapters. And last Wednesday night, we took you not only through the first five chapters, but all the way through the first 20 chapters of the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 1, it is wisdom that moves the believer. In Proverbs chapter 2, it is wisdom that drives us from disobedience. What I could say about Proverbs chapter 2 is that it is wisdom that drives us to be obedient. And you'll notice I put it in a different fashion. Wisdom is that which drives us from disobedience. We're all aware of the fact that we have a sinful nature. We can be under the control of our sinful nature, or we can be under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And so when we study the Bible, and especially when we look at chapter 2, it is wisdom that drives us from disobedience. In Proverbs chapter 3, it is wisdom that gives joy and peace and security. Every person on this earth is desiring to have joy and peace and security and contentment. And Proverbs chapter 3 says that wisdom will give us that joy, that peace, that security. In Proverbs chapter 4, it is wisdom that gives good judgment, common sense. We're living in a time when people oftentimes do not have good common sense. And the Bible teaches us that we can have good common sense. And it's presented to us beautifully in chapter 4, the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 5, it is wisdom that guards the young man from the prostitute, from the profligate. on Wednesday night, we're going to be dealing with that subject, and I trust that you'll understand how the Bible presents this magnificently. I'm going to do this rapidly, but I want you to see that over the last months, we have been analyzing the first 20 books of the Old Testament. And I wanted to tell you that we're finding Jesus in every one of these books. Jesus is actually very evident in every book of God's inspired Scripture. He's the promised son of Eve that would crush the serpent's head to redeem her like Adam could not. He's the burning bush. He's the voice from the mountain. He's the atonement cover on the ark. He's the suffering servant of Isaiah, the fourth man in the midst of the fiery furnace of Daniel, and he's the burden bearer of the book of Amos. We see Jesus abbreviated throughout the entire wonderful Old Testament. And I want you to see again that when you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, you will discover that there is word 1, word 2, word 3, and word 4. I've said this time and time again, and I want you to see it again. And when you go to the New Testament, Jesus describes himself as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That simply means that those words are words that explain the Greek alphabet. The first letter is Alpha, the last letter is Omega. And Jesus is saying, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, I'm the beginning and the end. How beautiful that is. But in the Old Testament, we have a beginning letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and we have a last letter, the 22nd letter of the alphabet in the Hebrew. So we have Aleph on the one hand, and we have Tav on the other. But what we find when we go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, when you begin to look at the Hebrew words, you go to word 1, word 2, word 3, and word 4. And you'll be surprised when you get to word 4, which is really not a word. It is made up of two letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and it is Aleph and Tav, which reminds us again of the fact that Jesus is saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and then he says, I'm Aleph and Tav, I'm the beginning and the end in relationship to the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. I've said that in several different ways over the last weeks, but I want you to see that you're seeing Jesus presented to us beautifully in the Hebrew language. In Genesis, he's referred to as the seed of woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's the high priest. In Numbers, he's the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the city of refuge. In Joshua, he's the scarlet thread out of Rahab's window. In Judges, he is our judge. In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. And in Kings and Chronicles, he is our reigning king. In the book of Ezra, he is our faithful scribe. In the book of Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of everything that is broken. In the book of Esther, he is Mordecai sitting faithfully at the gate. In Job, he's our redeemer that ever lives. In Psalms, he is my shepherd, I shall not want. In Proverbs and also in Ecclesiastes, which will be our subject for next Sunday morning, the second session, he is our wisdom. Now, I could take you through the rest of the Old Testament books, but I won't do that now because I want to remind you that wisdom is learned by study. Over the years, I've had some difficulty in some of the passages of the Word of God. I don't know whether I should be admitting that this morning, but oftentimes I've discovered that when I have difficulty with understanding and difficulty with comprehending and difficulty with even agreeing, I always discovered that it is my problem and not the Lord's. Have you ever discovered that? If there seems to be any difficulty between you and the Word of God, you put it down. The problem is not with the Word of God, it is with you and me. Now, after saying that, I want you to see that over the years I have had difficulty with the Scripture that emphasizes the fact of the necessity of many counselors. And the Scripture has some things to say about that. In the light of that, admission. I want you to begin to follow what I have for you in this service, because I felt like I needed to interrupt my series of studies here and go into a little discussion in relationship to that particular thing that has bothered me through the years. Proverbs 19, 20, and 21. Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Every one of us here today would like to say, I want to be wise the rest of my days. And so it says, the reason why you're not, if you're not, is that you haven't been listening to counsel and accept discipline. And then verse 21, many are the plans in a man's heart. That explains it, doesn't it? Many are the plans in man's heart. But the counsel of the Lord, it will stand. It's very important for us to tie the two verses together. God always gives wise counsel. Often the counseling of professionally advanced counselors on the earth is insufficient and misleading. I want you to be able to see what I'm saying in the light of the entire study this morning. Often the counseling of professional advanced counselors on the earth is insufficient and misleading. The answer to problems and the circumstances of life lie with our Heavenly Father. It's always important for us to see that we need to be extremely careful when we think in terms of individuals on this earth giving us information that may or may not be in keeping with the Word of God. The answer to the problems and circumstances of life lie with our Heavenly Father. The wise counselors refer to individuals who know the God of the Bible and who know the Bible of God. Now, you're going to have to pause with me and take a look at what I'm saying. Be careful about going to counselors, and that's what is being emphasized here today. You'll notice that I'm emphasizing the fact that the answer to the problems and circumstances of life lie with our Heavenly Father. The wise counselors referred to in our Bible refer to individuals who know the God of the Bible and who know the Bible of God. Together, the God of the Word and the Word of God will give to us all that which we need relating to our time on the earth and relating to eternity. I have to tell you that these words are very important, and I'm saying them individually and slowly and carefully. Individuals need to know the God of the Bible, and they need to know the Bible of God. Together, the God of the Word and the Word of God will give to us all that which we need related to our time on the earth and for eternity. When we use advanced truth from God in His Word, we will have the assurance that is spoken of in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, which says, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. Notice carefully. This is Isaiah 55:11. So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void or empty. Without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. It's very, very important that we look carefully at and see what this verse is saying. God's Word brings forth spiritual life. It produces the fruit that God plans and accomplishes God's purposes. I would encourage you over and over again to write that scripture down, which is Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. It's powerful. We must see it. So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty or void. Without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. In other words, God's word brings forth spiritual life. It produces the fruit that God plans. It accomplishes the purposes that God plans. That's a foundation. Now, there is a Hebrew word that I want to share with you. It is the word tabula, translated council. It's probably related to the noun hobo, or the word that is translated sailor, and may originally have meant boat steering skill. Later, this Hebrew word was used figuratively to mean the skill of steering or guiding actions. In the Old Testament, this word, tabula, is used only in Job and in Proverbs, always in the plural form. So the word usually refers to the body of guidance, the body of counsel or strategy offered by a group of skilled counselors. The Hebrew wisdom tradition taught that the discerning man acquires wise counsel from skilled advisors in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. When we look at Proverbs 8:14, that passage teaches that wise counselors are those who know both the Lord and His Word. And that's the reason why you read, "Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, power is mine." Notice how unique that scripture is in Proverbs 8:14. It teaches then that anyone who has the responsibility of giving out any information must understand and have a relationship both with the Lord and the Word of the Lord. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. Wisdom then enables people to give wise counsel and sound judgment, and to have understanding, insight, and power. Please follow me. Only God's wisdom makes men capable of honestly holding and faithfully discharging the duties of a counselor or instructor. That's the reason why I'm giving this today, because when you go to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, it indicates that humility, listening skills, and discernment are essential to both those who give and those who receive counsel. Because it says the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Personal opinion becomes what is best to a fool. Personal opinion is and becomes what is best to a fool. The fool, which I put down in parentheses, hardened, thick-headed, obstinately thinks that his way is the right way, presented in Proverbs 21:2, which explains why he will not receive instruction in Proverbs 1:7, no matter how clear the true word is. A fool persistently takes his own thinking as right, but the one who shows real wisdom is the one who listens to advice, which is the Word of God. The wise will listen to godly counsel because he realizes his fallen condition and inclination. He understands that his own thinking may not be the wisest or even correct. I want you to see that I'm trying to drive at something today that I'm of the opinion is extremely important. Be careful when you go to anyone on this earth for advice. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 teaches us to receive godly counsel and not to contend defiantly for our own way. The scripture says, "Through insolence comes nothing but strife." But wisdom is with those who receive counsel from God. Insolence or pride in Proverbs 11:2, we read, "When pride comes, then comes dishonor. But with the humble is wisdom." Means unyielding arrogance. In other words, if a person is filled with pride, you can see that that means unyielding arrogance. Such an inflated, know-it-all view of oneself leads to quarreling. What happens many times today is that there are people who are involved in debate and quarreling over the scripture, in contrast to a humble, wise spirit, which makes one willing to learn and take advice. I don't know whether you've ever done this before, but I got into a deep discussion in my own thinking and research on the word advice. And I looked because I wanted to spell it correctly. You can spell advice, A-D-V-I-C-E, or A-D-V-I-S-E. Now, I would be interested, I won't take the time to come to each one of you today and ask you to define for me those two words. But I've learned something that I did not know in all these years, and that I needed to see, that there is a difference between advice on the one hand, A-D-V-I-C-E, and A-D-V-I-S-E on the other hand. Now, many of you are going to leave this service today without not remembering anything except this particular point. A-D-V-I-C-E is a noun. A-D-V-I-S-E is a verb. Now, I'm not going to spend any more time there. I just want you to know that the root reason for contention is pride. Someone is envious of another, feels intimidated by another, or is hurt by another. The question that I have is, in the light of that situation, what is the cure? Paul was simply to die daily, the scripture says. Whatever our abilities, whatever our knowledge, whatever our commitment, we should know that receiving godly counsel from God's word will improve us. Proverbs 15:22 states, without counsel, plans go awry. I'm finding all these verses, Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans go awry. But then it says, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And that's the very passage of scripture that gave me trouble for all these many, many years. Now, I am admitting that, and I want you to see why I'm giving you this message. Where counsel, especially from those who know us intimately and understand us personally, as the Hebrew word suggests, is absent, plans are frustrated and break down, go awry. Notice, please, when our perspective is enlarged by input from a number, multitude, of caring, experienced, and honest advisors, counselors, the plans will be examined and improved until the scripture says they are executed or established. Which simply means be careful when you listen to a lot of people telling you God's plan for your life. Practically speaking, it is useful to have a close friend or friends who know you and can objectively communicate spiritual guidance without being judgmental or busybodies. Obviously, pastors can fulfill this role. I've tried to stay away from this throughout my ministry in these 41 years. Their knowledge of you and their relationship to God and His Word combine to be able to provide good advice. Proverbs 19:20, our key passage for today, teaches us to break with our undisciplined self-will so that we can listen and learn and become wise from God's Word. That's the reason why this passage now says, listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise throughout your lifetime and especially when you get to your latter days. The importance of persistence in continuing to receive instruction over a great length of time shows up in our latter days. Now, let me tell you what I've just said there. If you stay with the Word of God in your youth, and when you stay with the Word of God when you're middle-aged, and when you stay with the Word of God, finding yourself in harmony with Jesus Christ, cleansed of sin, filled with the Spirit, receiving the spiritual fuel from God's Word, and you do it as you move through life, when you get old, you have the ability to make application more easily of the Word of God. I don't know whether I should say this or not, but I will. Joyce, my wife, has been working in her thinking about various things that take place in believers' life as they advance and grow old in the Word of God. She's come up with the idea, and I'm going to share it with you now. Many times in life, we go through various experiences in our lifetime together in the days per day. And something will happen, and she will simply say, I'm just gliding. This is just gliding. And she uses that word gliding. And so right now we're doing study in relationship to, is the word gliding found in the Word of God? And we found the fact that in the Word of God, many, many verses are there in relationship to guide and guidance. And we're discovering that really you have to be guided before you can glide. Are you following? Thank you, honey. I appreciate that. You didn't know I was going to preach on your information there, but I want you to see how fantastic it is. The importance of persistence in continuing to receive instruction over a great length of time will show up in our latter days. And if you and I are not growing and advancing in the Word of God, we're going to grow old not being able to glide. We are guided and we are gliding in our old age. The promise is profound. One can attain the title of wise, but the cost of being wise is the long-term discipline, the patient commitment to listen and to receive, take in God's Word continuously. I cannot tell you how important this message is today. Proverbs 19:21 states that we need God's counsel in our hearts instead of our own if we would do something that stands eternally. Many plans, you notice in the scripture, verse 21, many plans are in man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. If we want something that will last, if we want something that will stand, we have to be captivated in our thinking with the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's counsel is elevated above human purposes. God's counsel is elevated above human aims and subjectivity, which permeates mankind and its history. What you can find in the Kyle and Dalich commentary, some interesting statements, but I'll not get into this in detail other than I want to read what we have here. We may have lots of ideas or thoughts, but it's only God's thoughts, God's counsel that will truly stand. A person may and should make plans, chapter 16, verse 1 and 9, but God can in His sovereignty overrule and accomplish His purpose. Zig Ziglar said, the most influential person who will talk to you all day is you. So you should be careful about what you say to you. Now I realize that that's a powerful statement and many of you may not think about it too much. But most of us every day are in the process of thinking within ourselves. And I thought it was interesting that Zig Ziglar said this. The most influential person who will talk to you all day is you. So you should be careful about what you say to you. In other words, if you don't think God's thoughts and you're not utilizing the Word of God, you're going to be saying things to yourself that's not right. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18 gives us advice to deliberate and establish our plans with others before we act. Plans are established by God's counsel, by wise counsel. It is a long way from the conception, a great idea, to its accomplishment. It needs to develop in consideration of eventualities and the means to make it happen or bring it to successful realization. Isn't it interesting how when you're studying, you find verses that make you want to sit up and say, now what does that mean? I found these words wage war in relationship to counseling. The wage war is always harmful and dangerous, according to Proverbs 11:14 and 24:6 and Luke 14:31. To do so on bad advice is a crime. War will be disastrous unless it is directed with the greatest of wisdom and skill, says Isaiah 24:6. It's foolhardy to ignore the wisdom and experience of those who have walked faithfully with the Lord. Because Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise person is he who listens to counsel. That's Proverbs 12:15. I must hasten. Proverbs 21:30 warns us that no wisdom or plan can avail against God. There is no wisdom and no understanding and no counsel against the Lord. Human wisdom is no match against God's wisdom. Please remember that. No wisdom or plans of any person can ultimately thwart the Lord's plans, for He is sovereign and He's all wise. No theological, scientific, or political insight, system, or method can prevail against Him, according to Daniel 10:12 and Job 28:28. Wish we could get into that. When we argue with God, we lose. Put it down in your thinking. When we argue with God, we lose. When we fight against God, we lose. God never loses. The outcome is always determined. God always wins. Therefore, anything contrary to the Word of God, no matter how wise and mystical it might seem in our great thinking in this life, is destined to fail. Proverbs 27:9 indicates that the sympathetic, godly counsel of a friend will refresh the soul. The scripture says, oil and perfume make the heart glad, so a man's counsel is sweet to his friend. A friend's earnest counsel is as sweet or pleasant as the fragrance emanating from perfume and incense. Genuine advice shows that a person cares. How graciously sweet is the encouragement of a friend. A true friend's prudent counsel anoints and ministers sweetness to the soul and to the heart. Life has given us many opportunities and challenges. God wants us to handle them in the best way. The Bible's profound insight should cause us to face and solve problems in the wisest way. First, we must know that persistence in the study of God's Word, receiving the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis, is foremost the best procedure in Christian growth. And secondly, be sure you always seek and find out godly counsel, if that ever becomes necessary. But do it from individuals who are Bible-saturated, humble, and spiritually led. Those are some of the conclusions that I've come to in the light of my dilemma over that passage of Scripture that I've analyzed over the many, many years. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the problem, the progress in our thinking as we live from day to day. We're able to see that You have for us a specific plan, a unique design in life. We're aware of the fact that there's not any counsel on this earth, any instruction on this earth that compares to the instruction and the counsel of our Heavenly Father. We pray that we'll be able to understand this clearly, that if we are ever to attain our Christian life successfully, we have to see it from God's vantage point, from a vertical viewpoint, from a divine perspective, and not looking at things from the human perspective. We realize that in this life we're faced continually with horizontal human thinking. Help us to understand that the only way we're able to live successfully and progress properly in this life is to be able to find ourselves completely saturated with the thinking of our Savior Jesus Christ. We know that He's given us everything we need to have a fruitful, victorious, triumphant life. And we can find that because this book is our roadmap. We pray that we will accept it and study it diligently. And especially those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, help them to understand that the Bible is such a magnificent book, and it says that God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth as the God-man, to live those 33 years and then go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. We pray that there will be those today who will understand that the only way of salvation is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. So we know that the Bible teaches us that the faith way is the only way. It's faith alone in Christ alone that brings salvation. We realize that the scripture is so vivid when it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We're thankful for all the wonderful verses, but especially those that tell us so frankly that when we believe, accept Jesus Christ as Savior, that He accepts us and we're born into His kingdom. We pray that there will be those who will accept you even now. And we thank you again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.